Hey gang, this week on the Feel Strong podcast, we have Wheezy Shoemaker. Wheezy is a friend, a colleague, a coach, a mom, and truly a remarkable person. We talk about helping clients get unstuck, what it's like to run your own business while being a busy mom, and navigating some truly challenging situations that Wheezy has already found herself in. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. I sure did. Wheezy Shoemaker is on the Feel Strong podcast. Shoemaker, welcome to the Feel Strong podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Justin.
I am excited to have you. Truth be told, I've wanted to have you on for a while, and I actually thought I had asked you previously, and I went back looking through our conversations, and I was like, oh, you know, the reason Wheezy hasn't said yes yet is because you didn't actually ask the question. You just, like, manifested it, but not fully enough.
Sure. Well, I'm glad that you asked me. It's an honor to be invited.
That's very sweet of you to say. So you are a coach based in Columbus, Ohio.
I am.
You're also a busy mom.
That is also true.
Before we started recording, we started talking about something, and full disclosure, I started screaming over you, no, this is too good, we have to record it. So I think we should get right to that. But we were talking about, you said something that was applicable for you and you were spending a lot of time with your clients on is around the idea of not letting, well, you say, go ahead.
Okay. So something that I'm spending a ton of time thinking about as it pertains to my own life and with clients, because in truth, I am in the same season of life as many of my ideal clients, is that we are letting the pursuit of perfect get in the way of progress. And so if it can't look exactly the way that we'd like it to look, or the way that it maybe has looked in a previous version of life, we just sort of like throw the baby out with the bathwater, metaphorically, hopefully. And am I allowed to curse on this podcast? Is that allowed?
Of course.
And just say like, fuck it. Like, what? Why bother? I can't do what I want to do. These things that the wellness, you know, wellness talk is telling me I need to spend time on, I can't. And so why even bother taking the steps that I can take? So I've been thinking about that as it pertains to my own life and ways that I am consciously or unconsciously shooting myself in the foot, and ways that clients are doing that as well.
That makes perfect sense. And I think anybody listening out there, if they have access to, you know, social media or TV or radio or any advertisements for the past 200 years, will resonate with the idea of, especially a lot of fitness wellness people predicate their business and their marketing on making you feel guilty, like you're not doing enough. If only you were drinking alkalized water. What do you mean you're not doing ice plunges? What do you mean you're not getting body work? What do you mean you aren't caring about the scent? What do you mean you aren't doing your journaling? Right. What do you mean? And
what do you mean you can't have a 30-step? I'm sorry, I talked over you. Please. We're both going to roll. And finish your thought.
Because I've seen this a lot, the same thing happens toward mothers. Well, if you're not doing this, then you're not actually being a good mom. There's a huge amount of guilt from that side of the, you know, marketing industry as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And like what do you mean you don't have a 30-step morning routine? No, my child is awake at 5:30 in the morning and they stand in my doorway and they say, hey guys, I just have something to talk about, and then hits the ground running. And then in the same breath, well, why can't you get quality rest? Okay, well, you want me to have my morning routine that allows me to arrive softly into the day. That means I'm going to get six and a half hours of sleep. What do I choose?
Yeah, 100%. That's always the things that are left out of the, I love the 30-step morning routine, because those kind of posts drive me up the wall, because all the stuff they aren't saying, I find more interesting. I'm like,
yes.
Oh, interesting. So you're not responsible for like helping anyone else with their morning. You're not responsible for getting people off to school. You're not responsible for maintenance. You don't have a job that requires you to show up or commute, or there's all these things that aren't said,
right?
Because you've created time for this. Or you, like, I don't know if you remember, it was a number of years ago, Mark Wahlberg published his daily routine and it was a lot.
Oh gosh.
But it was beautiful because it started at like 3:30 in the morning and it was three or four different kinds of workouts with some nutrition, golf, and prayer mixed in. And that was basically the whole day. And I was like, some PR guy wrote this up. Mark hasn't even looked at it. This is a lie and just one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
Right.
You said you feel like this shows up in your own life and your client's life a lot, this idea of letting perfect be the enemy of progress.
Yes.
How does it look like for a client? You could either generally or use someone specific if that's easier.
So for clients, most of the clients that I see are postpartum in some regard. And so when I use the word postpartum, I mean at some point has carried a child. Whether to full term, whether it was 6 months ago or 16 years ago, many of the people who I serve are birthing people. Mm-hmm. And often they are people who were really entrenched, like one of their kind of core identities was fitness prior to having children. I don't work a ton right now with people who are brand new to their fitness journey. And so then there's this huge identity shift that happens when they go through the parenthood transition and realize, oh no, I this core tenet that I would consider to be like such a cornerstone of my identity prior to children is not accessible to me. Because of time, because of budget, because of the way the capabilities of their bodies have changed. And society as a whole, particularly when we talk about the US, expects mom to just like kind of hit the ground running. And she's still, for as long as she's lactating, there's still many of the physical components that affected her while she was pregnant are present in her body that prohibit her from moving in certain ways that are going to make it not feel good or serve her. Meanwhile, she's probably back to work right away. She's certainly upright and moving around, whereas we know that many of the physical ailments that, not ailments, but all birthing people are going to develop a separation of the abs. That is to create space for the person that they're creating. 100% of babies are going to have one as well. That allows them to be in this tiny little egg shape. They don't have core stability. Babies naturally heal it over the course of learning to be upright somewhere between 8 and 16 months or so. Mom is probably up 30 minutes after delivery. Like the nurse is like, hey, you got to go to the bathroom, get up, click and hold your hand if you want, you know. And so we know that it's possible to heal, but often mom is not given that huge, massive runway or even the tools to know how to do it. And so I spend a lot of time helping to bring it kind of full circle. I spend a lot of time thinking about for myself and helping my clients almost reorient their identities around you are not broken and there's not something wrong with you that you're not able to do the things in the ways you were able to do them previously. Let's scrap that whole list and build a new normal from what is actually accessible to you now. Like, throw her away, because in the same way that baby was born, you have been born.
I love that. It is, interestingly, because I think we work with a lot of the same clientele. Mine aren't all postpartum folks, but that idea that you just described of this past identity that you're looking back on and maybe enviously looking back on, or maybe, you know, longingly looking back on, that person doesn't exist. It literally doesn't exist. Stop comparing yourselves to them because you can't get there. you're a different person in a different place. And whether it's kids, career, COVID, whatever got in the way and you feel like knocked you off track, you're trying to get back on track, we can get back on track, but it's going to look different because you're different.
Right. It's a new track. It's a new train.
Yeah. I started getting, I think Facebook started giving me memories of like, this is what you were doing 9 years ago. And there's this skinny guy doing all these cool gymnastics. And I was like, this asshole, I didn't want to talk to him. That's not like, he's balancing okay, but he looks so tiny. I hope he's okay. I'm worried about him. And,
right.
But some part of the back of my brain was like, oh, I wonder if he could look like that again. No, I would be very right. unhealthy if I tried to look like that again.
Right. That's how I felt when a picture of me doing handstand pushups at a competition came up. Like, oh, ma. Mm.
Adorable.
Is she all right? Yeah. We don't know.
We have some ideas. I think I remember how she was doing. So I want to double back to how this shows up in your life, but how do you describe your ideal client?
My ideal client is somebody who is so wrapped up in what they're not able to do that they're not able to see a path forward.
That's big.
I hope so.
So people who are fixated on the negative, on what they can't do or aren't currently feel like isn't accessible to them.
Right. I love a client who feels stuck.
Why is that?
Because if we can get to the why behind the things that they want to do, we can get them unstuck. They're stuck in the what. We need to get to the why. And if we can get to why, then we can set a path forward.
That's
I can help them. I can help them figure out how.
Would you walk through how that might look? Like with a hypothetical client, or you don't have to use any names or anything, but I think that's a very powerful idea that could use some unpacking for people listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have one client in particular who prior to, I think she'd be perfectly comfortable with me sharing about her because I have talked about her on social before. She is postpartum. She's not newly postpartum, but wants to feel strong and did not know how to get there. She has a very high training age. She's been fit for a long time and had been going to small group or mat-based fitness classes for a really long time and said, I think I should feel stronger. I don't. And I don't know how to get there. I am doing what I believe to be all the right things, but it is not producing the output that I want. I am not physically, mentally, or emotionally any stronger. And I don't know how to get there. And you were recommended to me.
So great. Someone who has had a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge and education around this, and
yes.
was trying really hard. It sounds like they yeah. have made a bunch of time and invested time, energy, money, opportunity
yeah.
to achieve these things and felt like they were smashing their head against the wall and not getting anywhere.
Right. Why can't I figure this out?
And what was the why that you ended up unpacking with this person?
So for her, she wants to feel not just as an extension of a mom. One of the things that she really, really enjoys doing that she did competitively pre-kiddos and then realized pretty quickly when dipping her toe back into the water after kids, wow, I have lost a lot, is competitive sailing, like on a one-man vessel. And so why for her is reclaiming strength, not just for the purpose of serving my family and serving my kiddos, but also to find joy in this other thing that I am currently physically limited by competitively. She really, if we strip kind of all of that back. She wants to feel strong for herself, not for anybody else.
That's a really powerful idea.
Yeah. And that's true for most of my clients, because as a parent, you have to give and give so much of yourself, particularly if you're the primary caretaker, which many moms are. You're the last priority until we change that narrative.
Absolutely.
So for this client, and to be candid, for every client that I've taken through an exercise, and I know it's an exercise you're familiar with, but I'm going to explain it in case there's somebody who's listening, who is not familiar. Scoping out an old way of being and a new way of being, and basically defining what are five qualities about yourself that you find to be unattractive, not physical, we're not body shaming, and then the inverse of that. And then for the inverse, qualifying what are actions that that person takes. That is something that I go through with new clients within the first 4 to 6 weeks of our journey together. And every single person I've taken it through in more depth than we just talked about, but they've all ended up like sobbing because they've put themselves on the back burner for so long. And it is such a deep guttural feeling of, oh my God, I can actually make space for the person I want to be. And this is how I get there.
When you do that with people, do you do that? Mm-hmm. How do you take someone through that? Is that, are you sitting down with a client when they walk mm-hmm. into a session? You say, have a seat. We're going to talk about how you view yourself.
Mm. So normally I will not do that at the start of the session because I want a little more time to assess where they're at for the day. And so if somebody is not in a good either physical or mental headspace, I don't want to jump into something that I know is going to dig deep. but I know that sometime within our first 6 weeks together, we are going to go there.
That's awesome. And for, especially for the coaches out there, I'm just going to restate what Weezy just said she does. She knows she's going to take her client through this personal development exercise. And this is a voice note to future Justin. We're just going to do a podcast where we do this with everybody. So we can, like, you can listen to it and walk through it, because it's, I know exactly what you're talking about. Not everyone will. I don't know. Go to next week's podcast and it'll be there. But you're working with someone, they're showing up and doing sessions with you regularly, and you're waiting for a time when things are going well, when they're in a really good spot and they feel a little balanced, they have some capacity, they're in a good place. At that moment, you are not going to get them to PR. You're not going to drive them into the dirt with a workout that they can handle and they're going to feel really good and like they did something in shape. You're going to stop them, sit them down, and take them through a challenging personal development exercise, because that's going to be more useful. That takes guts as a coach. I completely agree with you. That takes guts.
It's been really powerful. And then to follow up with them on subsequent sessions of, hey, how's new Amanda doing? Or how's new Weezy doing? Which I am holding myself to as well.
That's excellent. How do you find the perfect getting in the way of progress showing up in your life?
Oh boy. So my partner, his name is Ted, he's extremely supportive, and we have had a number of recent discussions about this. Because if I'm being honest, this postpartum has been really difficult. My youngest is 6.5 months now, and a number of things outside of my and our control have come in the way of what I would consider to be like ideal recovery. I had two really rapid and stressful job changes. I had COVID and it took me out. We've had a number of stomach bugs. It's been challenging for ways that are not in my control. And we've realized that we've kind of like let there be more slack than there needs to be in places where I do have control. Like, I may not have control of not having the aerobic capacity to work out in the types of ways that I'd like to right now. However, it's not appropriate then for me to say, well, I'm not going to do anything. Like, that's me getting in my own way. Or saying, I am having a hard time eating certain foods because of coming back from the stomach bug. Okay, well, then that's not permission to then just eat whatever the F you want. Like, we still, let's not throw out progress trying to get to perfect. Like, if 20% is the most that I have to give in a day, that's enough. And I'm not going to be able to shame myself into more than 20 if 20 is really all that I have. Like, that won't be effective. So how that pertains to us specifically right now is that we have decided not to keep any alcohol or treats in the house. That doesn't mean not have them. It just means, like, if I'm going to the store, I'm not putting a six pack in the cart. Could I rationalize it? Absolutely. I'm breastfeeding, and in certain kind of beer, there are compounds that increase milk content and letdown. So can I say, like, hey, well, actually, this serves this? Totally. But that's not why I'm doing it. Like, I need to call myself on my bullshit there. So finding sneaky ways where we've let there be more slack than there needs to be, and that is actually prohibiting us from healing in the ways that we say we want.
I really like that imagery of there being more slack than there needs to be, as well as tied with, you know, recognizing your capacity in any given modality, in any given part of your life, on any given day. So you're describing, like, you know, let's go back to the 30-step morning routine, right?
Right.
My morning, I feel like my mornings, and I'm this isn't you, I'm just hypothesizing. My mornings feel a little chaotic. I'm a little tired. I'm always starting the day 1 foot behind. But I can't do this 30-step morning routine. Option A is, oh, well, hopefully someday I'll have time for that 30-step morning routine.
Right.
And there's all this room, which we see as coaches in fitness all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. I've long ago lost count of the people who say, oh, well, I don't have time to work out. And what they mean is, I don't have 2.5 hours to train today.
Right.
You say, oh, okay. Do you have 60 seconds? Well, of course I say, oh, sweet. If I want, can we do 3 minutes? You just start building up from there. You're right. Describing, but we're not going to do, we are never going to do a 30-step morning routine. It's, even if we had the time, we wouldn't do it. However, can I put things in place where I can, like, have my clothes ready to go and have my face wash there, because I know that makes me feel really good in the morning.
Right.
And the coffee is pre-made and I've done some food prep, so I actually get some food in my face in the first 3 minutes, because that might be the only chance I get until noon. Oh,
right.
Well, that's a pretty strong 3-step morning routine, and it beats the hell out of nothing. So finding that middle ground and kind of teasing that slack out of it is a really strong idea.
I also really like the idea of making your habits work for each other. So one of the exercises you're going to take the podcast through, one of my statements is Potent Wheezy prioritizes her own basic self-care. And so one of those things for me is I wash my face before I go to bed. Like, that is one of the things that historically I've had a difficult time with. I just want to go to bed. Like, don't make me spend 5 minutes washing my face. I just would like to go to sleep. But it's important to me, and I believe it's an aspect of just basic human care. And another want that I had was a want to look more put together in the morning. And I am somebody who never sleeps with makeup on. Like, I won't do it. I will absolutely wash my face if I've got on even just a little bit of makeup. So I started wearing mascara, which is, I want to look more put together and I want to practice basic self-care at the end of the day. Cool. I'm going to layer the two together because I know that if I do the one, I will absolutely do the other. Cool. And so I try to do that same type of thing with clients as well, is where are your almost overlapping goals where we can get the one to power the other?
That's beautiful, because then they, each one gives another thing an assist. And even right. if you don't feel like doing it, well, I'm going to wash my face so that I can put the mascara on because I really like that part. So this is, you know,
right.
I'm going to eat my vegetables here, even if it all feels like vegetables to some degree. And then it takes away some of the sting of any particular difficult habit to get into place. I really like that. Doubling back on something you said earlier, you mentioned that, you know, if all I have to give today is 20%, then I'm going to give 20% and that's fine.
Yeah.
The only, the slightest challenge to that is I would say, if that's what you have to give, then that's today's 100%.
Right. Yes.
That's what 100% is going to move around. Like, how much room I have left in my glass is going to vary wildly based on day, month,
totally.
With job, with relationships, with everything else going on. Like, I will give what I have to give, and I'm getting better and better at recognizing what that capacity line is, so I don't just sail over it because this worked 3 weeks ago. It'll probably work today, and dig an even deeper hole.
I think that's an important clarification.
Why do you think you're drawn to work with people who are stuck?
Because I have been stuck, and I want to help as many people out of that quicker than I was able to get out. Like, I'm really inspired, particularly as it pertains to people in the motherhood transition. There's a lot of noise out there, and I am highly motivated to help that person.
How did you get unstuck?
Painstakingly and with a lot of support. And frankly, I don't know. I mean, I'm still so new into this second kiddo, like, rocked our worlds in many ways. But in many of the things that I work with clients on, in redefining what is normal now, not what was normal, not who were you before, who are you now? Like, what does now need to look like? What are your needs, wants, goals, current capabilities, not prior capabilities? I don't want to know what you could power clean 4 years ago when you could commit 2.5 hours a day to training and you had all the time in the world to meal prep and you slept 9 hours unbroken. Like, she's gone. What do we need, have, want, and feel called to now? And how can we make many of those habits work for each other? Like, let's then, with all of those things, need, want, capability, what's the time that you have allotted? And how can we get the most bang for the buck out of that time? And cut the shame, cut the should.
That's really good.
So,
and that brings so much efficiency and to their journey. And I resonate deeply with that. With I've always felt I'm actually not very good at things. I'm a pretty, things don't come naturally to me, but I will smash my head at it until I figure it out. Like, oh, I have to watch, this is going to take 300 hours of YouTube to understand this. Okay, let's start now. Like, oh, I have to go do this for 2 years to understand how this program works. Okay, let's start today. That's fine. And then I'll get there. And as soon as I get there, like, all I want to do is turn around and throw a ladder down. Be like, I figured it out. We can do it faster than this. You can do it in 2 months. You don't need 2 years. Please let me help you. Let me guide you. It sounds like you're coming from a similar place.
Yes. Of spending so much time like wading through mud when there was a canoe right there. Like we didn't have to do that. Here, let me show you.
That's a beautiful sentiment. Wheezy, one of the we've known each other for a minute, and one of the things mm-hmm. that has always impressed me about you, and I think we have a little self-similarity here too, is you seem utterly fearless to implement things in your business, life, and coaching if you believe in them. Does that
is correct.
Ring true for you?
Yes.
Small example and then a big question. So this personal development exercise that we've been referencing, and now people are going to have to listen to whenever I release that, or they're going to get confused. That podcast is now an appendix for this podcast. you said you do that with every client. You know for sure you're doing it in the first 6 weeks of working with somebody.
Yes, no question.
When did you first run into that development exercise?
It was within the last month, and it was so impactful. This is a no-brainer. This has to happen with everyone I work with.
Exactly. I think it was I think I know what day it was, and I think it was 3 weeks ago. And you have taken it, done it, put yourself through it, understood it, and immediately implemented it with everybody you work with.
Like, yeah.
Oh, this is good. This is valuable. I believe in this. It goes in today. There's no lines, no waiting. Especially coaches out there, there's so many coaches who are like, putting the finishing touches on how they're going to deliver this part of their program.
No.
And, oh, if it, I just need to one more pass through Canva. And, oh, I think I just need one more reference point. No, stop. Is it right? Is it good? Do it. Start today.
Right.
Oh, it's not perfect. Great. We found out it's not perfect. Let's fix it. Let's fix it today. We can adjust. Like, move.
Right.
Take action.
Right. That's, if I could speak directly to coaches, I would say, stop waiting for it to be perfect. It won't ever be perfect because perfect is a moving target. Perfect will evolve as you learn, know, and do better. And so, and your definition of perfect might be the coach next door's like pile of crap. Do the best that you can with what you have today, but keep laying bricks. Like, I'm not the person to anymore. I used to be, but I'm not the person to wait and spin my wheels and like, well, let me mull it over and wait for the right time and for just the right branding. And is this the right font? And am I delivering this in the proper way? And what's the SOP on it? No, do the thing. Just do the thing and pivot if you need to.
Yeah. Because part of the way, just like certainly anything in fitness, at some point, you just need to get reps in. So waiting until it's just right, and you really understand the back squat, and you've looked at some programs, you've watched some video, and you understand the anatomy, and you bought the best bar, and you have really good shoes and everything. And then you pick it up, and you're like, oh, this feels weird on my neck. I actually don't feel, I'm a little off balance. Oh, no, that wasn't perfect. No, it wasn't perfect. You needed some of the education, but at some point, you have to start doing it. And then we can ideally, with some expert guidance and mentorship, then you can stop, make it a little better, do it again, stop, make it a little better, do it again, which coaches instinctively understand in programming and exercise, and are so many of them are terrible at doing it for themselves or their own business or their own life in ways that you've already somewhat eloquently described.
Right. I was actually just speaking to a friend earlier today. I utilized Marco Polo quite a bit. If you know what it is, it's like immediate video, like it's like text messages, but for video messages.
Okay.
And a good friend of mine who is also a coach far from me do this often. And we were chatting back and forth around, do you ever feel like fraud that you are still working on some of the same things as your clients are? No, I think that gives me more credibility. I have been where you are, and in some ways, I still am.
100%. That ties into kind of, I run into it a lot, especially at one of the gyms I'm working at now, the aesthetics of being a trainer or a coach. Mm-hmm. That being like, well, you need, you know, if I want to teach people how to get big and strong, I need to be jacked and shredded. Because how else would they believe it? If I'm, you know, how can I train somebody to be an Olympic weightlifter if I can't outlift them? And exactly the opposite is usually true. The best coaches in the world are spending most of their time focusing on their clients, and they're not training for 3 hours a day. The best coaches in the world have gotten their clients so good and so functional and so healthy and so strong that they have far surpassed them in many ways. Like, ideally, I want my clients' lives to be a little bit better put together than mine because I'm helping them so much.
Right.
And I get to look at them like, oh man, I wish I had access to that guy. That guy would be cool. And then I get to go find my own coach who's similar to me and resonates with me and things like that. Like, you want people to be better than you. And when you can say, oh yeah, I've had setbacks. Oh yeah, I've had injuries. Oh yeah, I've gone through things like that. It builds a ton of commonality that allows you access to that kind of communication.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Is it okay if I ask you about the lab?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that one of the rapid job changes you mentioned earlier?
The spot, you mean?
The spot, sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that is one of the rapid job changes. And I can talk about it publicly now because Ted and I decided to tear up the check that they sent. Which is a very recent development. Essentially, I was only there 2 days. I determined really quickly it was not going to be a good fit, but they paid me anyway, of course, which is like you must pay for work delivered. However, they paid via just a standard paper check because there was not even enough time to get me into a direct deposit. And I had signed a contract with a 24-month non-compete. And so we had the check on our fridge as basically a safety net. We know it's good for 6 months. I had a pretty full schedule teaching in a mostly corporate environment, making a decent living wage. And I left to go take a job at the spot.
Would you tell people who don't know a little bit about the spot so they can understand kind of the gravity? Because I remember when this was all happening and, you know, the spot was hiring. Oh my God, Wheezy's going to go interview with the spot.
I would be interested to hear your point of view from it. Essentially, I was really, really fresh into ALP, which I would hope that anybody watching this podcast knows what it is. But if you don't, please look up Active Life Professional. It's changed my life. It had been, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks into being an ALP when a job opportunity came up at a place called The Spot here in Columbus, world-renowned training facility where they really have two sides of the business, the one side being training more of your standard GPP class, mostly adults, and then the other side training elite level athletes, but primarily youth sports. And so through being a part of the Active Life Professional Network, I kind of got to skip to the front of the interviewing line. And while I won't give Active Life the full credit, I did still have to interview and I had 3 rounds of interviews. I was offered and accepted a job under world-renowned, decorated coaches. And I realized 2 days in, this is not going to be a good fit for me. And it was so obvious. And my body was at such war with the decision because I had just, like, I had thrown my prospects away. Like, I have quit my job. I am paying a lot of money on a certification that I deeply believe in, but it's still a lot of money. And I don't have a net now. And I'm in something that I know is not going to feel good. I pulled in the driveway after the second day. I stumbled out of my car and I threw up in my front yard. And my husband walked outside and said, nope. Absolutely not. We will figure the money out. This is not going to work. And I called a friend of mine who is also an ALP, Nick Mula, and he brought me down to earth a little bit. And then Ted and I had another discussion, and I quit the next morning and left it up to them. Do you want me to just turn in my keys and leave today, understanding that I am in a client-facing position? Maybe you don't want me to carry out a traditional 2 weeks. I've only been here 2 days. It's such a fresh face that you can say it wasn't a good fit and not have me form any more relationships with people. I am fine with whatever you decide. And the ownership responded in a way that I felt deeply validated in my decision, which was to dismiss all of the reasons that I gave for it not being a good fit and saying, I just don't think you want to be away from your children. Turn in your keys now. Yeah, your face is about how I felt as well.
Yeah, for those on audio, I literally, that dropped my jaw.
And part of that parting discussion as well was, what would you need to make it worth your time to work at a place like this in the way that we're asking you to? Because the reason that I gave, which is one of a few that I wouldn't want to elaborate deeper on any of the other ones, I felt that the compensation was just fundamentally misrepresented. And so the question was, okay, what would you need to make it worth your time? And I said, to work in the way that you're asking me to, it would need to be $80,000 at like a basement level. And the owner, who is a highly recognized and decorated person in the strength and conditioning space, laughed and said, you're not going to make that coaching in person. And I was just so ready to be out of the conversation that I did the smile and nod. If I could go back, I would say either watch me or go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And both would have meant the same thing.
Yeah. And so I'm really comfortable talking about money because I feel that it's just kind of a social construct anyway. But now, just barely 3 months later into building my own business, and I am making $5,500 a month with an extremely sustainable schedule of 80% in-person clients and classes. So if you do the math on that, that is a short putt to 80 grand. And we're just getting started.
Yeah. 3 months in, and yeah, You're making money that coaches listening to this don't believe they can make.
You can.
And you left a job, took a prestigious job, realized it was the wrong way in 48 hours, quit that job, and now you're doing it again and succeeding on your own. Thank you for sharing all of that, by the way. I know
thank you for
it can't
asking.
Be the most comfortable thing to share about, but that was both ends of that. I certainly didn't know the middle until you just shared it. Struck me as brilliant implementation. Like, hey, you're 3 weeks into this program. You barely know these people. They offered to make an introduction at this very famous gym training facility. You said, yeah, I'll quit my job and go work there. Yeah, let's do it. And then 48 hours later, I mean, you did all the interviews and stuff like that. You said, actually, this is a bad idea. I'm doing something else. I'm leaving right now. And it's not, and none of them were flights of fancy. You made an analyzed decision, said, okay, this is a good idea. Oh, I got more information. Turns out we need to adjust. We're moving forward. Right back to what we discussed earlier with, you know, not letting perfect get in the way. Oh, this seems like the next best step. Oops, not quite. All right, we can pivot again and move forward. Oops, we can pivot again and move forward. Also, it sounds like you have an incredibly supportive partner.
I plan to start a podcast of my own, and we plan to do it together because he is such a pivotal piece of what I feel success looks like for me. And many of my female friends are jealous. And I think it would be extremely valuable for somebody who is a corporate successful, conventionally attractive, although I'm a little biased, man's man, to talk about the ways in which he shows up in extremely progressive ways for me. I think there's value to that.
100%. You should just do it. Do it.
I am. That we're picking a name. That's the pivotal piece.
Okay. You know what you can do with names? Change them later.
That's true.
Yep. This is not the logo we started with. It's okay. You can change stuff later. If you go back far enough in the social media, you'll see it. I left everything up. I left all the dirt and the grime and the whew. Can't believe I thought that was a good idea.
Well, now I'm going to definitely.
Yeah, sure. Genuinely, that's the reason it's all up. There was certainly, especially when we kind of like got a little more professional and did some rebranding, there was a big temptation to go scrub it all. And I left it up to show progress. It's like, oh,
yeah,
this is what used to be important. Oh, this is how we used to like represent. Oh, right. This is the money we used to ask for. Oh, this is how we used to talk about ourselves. Like, yeah, I'm leaving it up because it's all part of a journey, and it all, like, I couldn't be here without being there, I don't think. So Wheezy, at this point, everyone out there is tremendously impressed, and there's someone out there saying, yeah, that's all, that's well and good. I don't have that kind of confidence to bet on myself. What would you say to that person?
I would say to that person, what data do you have to support that doubt? Like, prove it. What do you have that supports the way that you feel? Take an objective, analytical approach to it. And if it's all in your brain, you're the problem. Get out of your own way.
Yeah, I really like that. And it breaks it down from a big overarching, I can't, there's too much going on, I'm too busy, it's too hard, to what's too hard? Which part? Show me all the parts. Maybe there's 200. Okay. Where should we start? What's the biggest priority? Great, let's start here. How could we make this better? How could we make this 0.5% better?
Right.
Oh, that was easy. Can we do it again? And I feel like you're someone who's done a lot of this, like getting in those reps. Because the first time you make a big, scary decision in betting yourself, it's terrifying. And then
it gets easier.
Even if the worst case scenario comes true, you've made a decision where, you know, I assume we're not jumping off bridges without looking. Like, oh, yeah, that really didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but I've learned a lot. Now I know I can bet a lot better next time. I'm going to move in this direction. And it's a very, we talk a lot about failing fast to feel strong. Like, if you're willing to fail fast, that's actually how you succeed quickly.
That reminds me of Ted Lasso, if you've seen it.
Oh, for sure. I was there first. They stole it from me, but yeah.
Be a Goldfish, copyrighted by Justin.
Yes, somehow. TM, all feel strong. Wheezy, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to tell people where to find you, because people are going to want to reach out and talk to you. But I have an ethical, moral question that I've been saving, and it's big and it's hard, but I am going to ask you a deep ethical question.
Let's go.
Do you think you would truly feel comfortable working with a client who seemed to meet all of your ideal scenarios? They're postpartum in some degree. They feel stuck. They're ready to do the work to get unstuck, but they really hate Taylor Swift.
I probably would refer them because they would just not enjoy training in my space.
Oh, that's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yes, I am a Swiftie. I am enough of a Swiftie that we have front row tickets to her show in Amsterdam. I spent a small fortune on them.
That's all. And now people are even more jealous of you. That is, full disclosure, the only question I came into this interview pre-written.
That's amazing. Really,
the only thing that's amazing. I want to go to. All right, Wheezy, where should people find you? How should they reach out? How do they get in touch with you when they want to?
Best way to find me is on social media. I'm simple. It's just Coach Wheez. There's no H, W-E-E-Z. That kind of feeds to everywhere else. So that is the place to go.
I mean, you say there's no H, so it's COACHWEEZ.
Oh, yes. There is an H in coach as you spell the word coach.
There is, in fact, an H, but there's only one. Coach Weez, only one H. Weezy Shoemaker, it's been a delight. Thank you so much for coming on Feel Strong. Absolutely, anytime. Thank you so much for listening to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you have the time. That makes a really big difference. If you have questions, you want details, DM us on Instagram at FeelStrongFit. There's more information on the website at feelstrong.me. We value effectiveness, individualization, and empathy. See what it's like to have an expert in the field really listen, hear what you need, and build you the perfect program to get you where you want to go. Today is the perfect time to get started. Reach out.